Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this radio program. On this Wednesday, May the 8th, 2024. Hope you're having a nice day. My panel has assembled.
Avengers assemble.
Is that what they say? And that's
that was a big line in some of the Avengers movies.
So who are the four Avengers? Are there more than four?
There's more than four. But
who are the four main ones?
The four main ones, as the old kind of Marvel universe started,
yes,
was Captain America, okay. Iron Man, Thor, and was it the Hulk?
Yep.
Then there was Hawkman, and
there's probably 15 of them now.
Black Widow.
Yeah.
So I think those were the main six.
Black Widow, I thought that was a woman.
It was. It is.
It is. Oh, okay. It is in this. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, who are you in this, Ed Pitagliano? You're wearing green.
I'm wearing green. The Hulk. I am the Incredible Bulk.
I want to be Captain America.
Bulk.
All right, Ed Pitagliano, Wesley Wildman, and Christopher Woodward.
Good morning.
A.K.A. Chris.
Mm-hmm. And then later on, in the...
Who's coming up later
on? We'll have Alex McFarlane.
Aquaman,
that's it.
That's what we call Alex, Aquaman.
He's the DC universe.
Oh, right.
He's not in
the
Marvel universe.
Team.
Yeah.
Right. He's always that guy.
He'll be on at the 10:30 mark, and then Steve Jordahl, the last half of the hour.
Paisley Jordahl.
See what he has his nickname.
He's a superhero of fashion.
Fashion, that's right. He's one of those that can blend into the wall. What is that? Do we have a character for that that blends into
Chameleon?
Its surroundings?
Superhero?
He's the incredible wallflower. You just never know he's there until he springs into action.
That's it, yeah.
Based on my height, I'm Ant-Man, clearly. I'm not better.
Ant-Man.
All right. Well, we hope we've added to your day, ladies and gentlemen, the last 2 minutes. Here
it doesn't get better either.
Yeah,
no, that's
so
true.
We probably lost half, and they're not
now.
The other half.
Hey, listen, if you've been listening to this show for long, you know what you're getting.
That's yes.
So you sign up for it. You're the one that downloads the podcast.
About a C minus. About a C minus.
Yeah, pretty big podcast numbers. So evidently, people want to waste their time.
That's
is that what you're saying, Wesley?
No, they learn a few things on this program.
Along the way.
Well, right? your dad told you one day anything over a 70 is just a wasted effort, right?
I can't remember. Well,
he said something like that.
My dad, your grandfather.
Yeah.
Yes, he had
a good
moderate expectations of his oldest son.
Now, I can't remember. Was that just for you or for everyone?
No,
I think that may have just been for you.
I think that was just for me.
Yeah, that was just for you. Yeah.
Moderate expectations.
I've told this one before.
That's what I wanted to hear.
I'll tell it again real quick, and then we'll get on to the depressing news of the day.
Yes, that's what I'm here for.
Okay. So anyway, my dad, God bless him, may he rest in peace. He passed in December, but wonderful man. Love my dad. But we were, this is 20 years ago or so. We were in his den 20, 25 years ago, and he was, I have two sisters and a brother. They're all younger than me, right? Yeah. My brother's 8 years younger than me, and we have a great relationship. But anyway, my dad goes, all right, he was frustrated about something with my brother. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he said, yeah. And I'm sitting in the den. I'm sitting right there beside him.
Yeah.
My dad. It's just me and my dad. And he goes, yeah, your brother, he said, I'm just frustrated with him. Of all my children, he had the best brain. And I said, Dad, I'm sitting right here. Can you at least wait till I leave?
He said, am I telling you something you don't know?
Just talk to Mom about that. That's something you say in front of me.
Yes.
Of all my kids.
He had the best brain. So
all my kids, your brother had the best brain.
He was saying that he was not living
right. He was not
potential.
Right. He was not meeting up to
his potential.
His potential of.
But you, on the other hand, had met your potential.
Right.
It was just way down
right.
the list. Right.
It was like
the
it was a mediocrity.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Hey, listen,
we're
come
talking,
from your own
I think
dad.
We're talking academically, yeah. I think
sure.
what we're talking yeah.
that
about.
That does. That kind of thing hurts. Right.
Yeah.
Well, they say truth hurts.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, I lived past that.
Yeah, you made it.
Yeah, I was wounded.
But hey, whatever doesn't kill you only makes you stronger.
That was inspirational.
Hey, is that a saying for a superhero? You just said, whatever doesn't kill you make you stronger?
It's a saying from somebody.
It's a song.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Song. Carpenters.
All right. Chris always defers.
When in doubt, go with the Carpenters.
I saw a great right. meme several years ago, and it was some like Viking looking dude.
Right.
And the words on the meme said, whatever doesn't kill me, better run. And I thought, that's the most Viking thing ever.
All right, Chris, what's first story today?
Yesterday, big news where a judge has indefinitely postponed former President Donald Trump's classified documents trial in Florida. The judge is Eileen Cannon, and the judge cited significant
issues.
Come on,
Eileen.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. I do know that song. But the judge cited significant issues around classified evidence that would need to be worked on before mm-hmm. the federal criminal case goes to jury. Here's what America needs to know.
Okay, well, Chris, what does America need to know?
This case, which President Biden and many other Democrats made a big deal over about how Donald Trump was in possession of classified documents at his Mar-a-Lago home, and the world's going to come to an end because he did all this. This case may not actually happen now until after the November election. We could potentially end up in a situation where we have a president-elect mm-hmm. who has to go to trial for having classified documents during his first time as president. But nonetheless, I've got some audio here of former Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi and a Trump supporter saying what the judge did was the right thing to do in delaying this. Clip. Five.
Good morning. Well, Carly, it means that he's going to receive a fair trial, at least in one of the cases. That's the right thing to do. You know, people need to remember in all of these criminal trials and civil trials that he's facing throughout the country, all the rights belong to Donald Trump, yet they're being denied to him in most of these cases. This is exactly what should have happened. Defendants are entitled to as much time as they need to be prepared for trial. I wish Judge Mershon in New York was following what this judge is doing.
Well, speaking of that New York case, that hush money trial will not be in court today. They've been taking Wednesdays off, and that appears to be the case again today. People are talking about what Stormy Daniels had to say on the stand, but there's
not
there, and I'm not going to share that on American
no,
Family Radio because I value my job.
Right. Well, we don't want to.
We all value our jobs.
We don't want to.
It's kind of sleazy.
It's sordid.
Yeah.
So you got two court cases there.
Yeah, and I have a little bit of a question here. Maybe you can explain further, Chris. So the Mar-a-Lago case, this is the document case. Any idea of what these issues are that it's being touted as to why there's a delay?
Yeah, I don't know of anything like specific in terms of like a quote-unquote smoking gun or something like that. But the way it's been presented on a few different news outlets, radio-wise, is there was some sort of like defense attorneys and prosecutors have to come together before a trial even takes place to share evidence, discuss things, and they have not come to agreement on certain things that will be presented in court as evidence. Therefore, the judge is like, we have to wait to do this.
And I also read where the documents that were seized from President Trump's Mar-a-Lago mm-hmm. residence, they're supposed to be cataloged in the order in which they're seized mm-hmm. and in which the documents might appear in a box, and some of those are out of order.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've read...
You're kidding.
I've read an article or two where it said that's not really a big deal, but it could result in further delays as well as
all kinds of appeals are filed on various things including evidence that was submitted, so that would be certainly something.
Listen,
that needs to be done.
This case is suspended indefinitely. Talking about the documents case, mm-hmm. This goes away. Trump wins, he fires him.
Yeah.
Now he would have to wait till January.
Right.
Mm-hmm. By fires him, I mean he fires the AG, obviously, and he fires Jack Smith, the prosecutor, special prosecutor. If he doesn't win, Trump doesn't win, he's got problems. Right. As far as going forward with these cases, he'll have to go through with them, I guess. A lot of his future hinges on whether he wins or not in November. The other case is that state case with Bragg. Anyway, up there in New York, mm-hmm. and we're not going to again. That was yesterday's testimony was the woman Stormy Daniels, who said she had a fling with President Trump. President Trump says no, we didn't. Don't know anything about that, and she gives sordid details of their. They're meeting.
Alleged liaison.
Right, which he says never happened. So her details of that were sordid, and that's a mess. We said if the women were called to testify, it was going to be a three-ring circus.
Right.
And that's what it's turning into be. So we'll see what happens with that. Does that go on today? Does that continue today? Or
no, there's nothing in the hush money trial today, but that will resume tomorrow. They've been taking Wednesdays off.
When will the trial hush up?
Well, they told Trump a couple of days ago, the judge, when he reprimanded Trump again for violating the gag order, finding money and all that, he said, you are expected to appear in court for the next 2 weeks. So we could be talking about this.
A lot of this, I think, was just to try to embarrass Trump. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
The problem with that is
he
doesn't get embarrassed.
No.
Right.
He, for better or worse, Trump has no shame.
Yeah.
Okay? He doesn't because narcissists don't have shame. Okay, I'm just telling you the truth. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just doing a psychological analysis of the situation, and I was told by multiple people, narcissists don't admit to being wrong.
Right.
Okay? Never. Don't let them see you sweat. And that's his modus operandi.
Okay, so let me ask you here. Okay, now, you just said something about...
What did I say?
People not admitting when they're wrong.
Right.
Now, my wife and I,
right.
we
Be
have
careful.
Been married
Be careful.
For 43 years. If she's never admitted that she's wrong, mm-hmm. or can I go home
no,
today
no,
and
no, no,
say,
no, 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 no,
Tim said.
No, no. You're on the back end of your life. You don't need that. Okay? And you know the answer to your own
yes,
question.
Yes, I do.
Huh? Wesley knows that. He's been married.
Wait, 11. No,
11 years. He knows that.
I'm coming up on 20.
Okay. You know that. We know this.
Yes.
You know that 5 years in. Easy.
Yeah. Okay. I was just
kidding. I know.
My wife has been wrong a lot. Let me just say that national radio.
I'm back in. Yeah. I'm not going to.
All right.
I know this is not great for radio, but all of these trials that Trump's going through, you reach a point where you just come to the. For me, I know we got to talk about them because they're in the news, but it just seems like ultimately they're all. Very shallow and there's not much there and there's. Not much there. No more than the analogy you've used before, and that's that. This is like somebody getting a speeding ticket that's going 68 and a 65.
Well, yeah, they're out to get him.
Yeah,
right.
And it's like that almost in every case, and
yeah,
so it's kind of hard to. And it's hard to keep up with everything because they're constantly digging.
I've said this before. With some of this, it's a witch hunt, as Trump says. The problem. For Trump, a lot of times is he dresses up like a witch.
Yes, yes.
so listen, they're out to get him, and there's no question about it. I mean, they said that, right? By they, I mean
before they started the trial, the judge did. Yes,
yeah, and you're right. Well,
Fonnie Willis in Georgia, Alvin Bragg in New York. They just said, "You elect me, I'm getting them."
Yeah, yes, I'll tell you what I mean real quickly by. Trump sometimes dresses up like a witch. All right. In that documents case down there in Mar-a-Lago, I don't know if he's guilty or not, but he kept those documents when a federal judge gave him an order to return them. And he said, I ain't doing it because I was I'm paraphrasing now, because I was the president and I can keep whatever I want.
Right.
Okay. The court case that they're going to go to is deciding who's right in that situation. Is it Trump saying, because he said, I told the National Archives, the only way they could ever have it back is they said, please, 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 please. Those were Trump's words.
Yeah. Right.
See what I'm saying?
Sure. Right.
So if you're going to do that, you got to be willing to go to court if they charge you, if you defy federal court order.
Sure.
And so that's the situation. Trump says, I can keep them all day, every day. They say, no, you can't. So they're going to have to go to court to figure out who's right.
Right.
And whether he deceived them in hiding them or not. I don't know whether he did or not. I'm just telling you that's the situation where he potentially got himself into trouble.
Yeah.
All right, enough Trump trials. There'll be more to come.
All right. Well, the current president of the United States.
Who's that?
Joe Biden.
Does he know this?
Some days I do think he does. Yeah. But he's going to be in Chicago today.
Really?
I don't know if Joe Biden is aware of this, but he is running for re-election this year. And so Joe Biden is going to be in Chicago today for a fundraiser. Kamala Harris is going to be in the city next Thursday, a week from tomorrow. But the point of this story, the reason I bring this up is because not every voter in Chicago is rolling out the welcome mat for one President Joe Biden, including black voters. I've got a couple of ladies here. One is Betty Guider, and another is P. Ray Inslee, who is a voice you've heard on AFN.net. Chad Groening has interviewed P. Ray a few times. But Betty Guider and P. Ray Inslee are black female voters in Chicago not happy with Joe Biden. Clip three.
So many of our black members have decided to change over, to switch from blue to red. And I think it's kind of too late now to come to Chicago to appeal to us. It's nothing here for him. We are fed up, as Ms. P. Ray said, with all the things that we're dealing with here in Chicago. This has been a very dysfunctional city for a while up under this party. And the people here are now fighting back, especially the black community.
I think that they're definitely going to vote for Donald Trump because we can't afford to keep subsidizing the illegals who are coming here. I believe our mayor said that we're going to get $5,000 a month this summer. So that's only going to exacerbate our issues and the frustrations that the people currently have. People are proudly stating that they're going to vote for the first time in their lives, and they're going to run to the polls to vote for Donald John Trump Sr.
For anybody that's wondering, Illinois has 19 electoral votes in this coming election.
That ain't changing.
Which one?
Illinois is not going for a Republican president. And I'll stake my coffee on that right here and now.
Okay.
So you can forget that.
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about?
No, not necessarily. What I heard there is that there are blue voters that are switching to red voters. They didn't
say
that.
Black voter. You saying they're blue?
They're black and blue. They're black and blue.
Okay. Black voters that normally vote blue.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. What I was hearing was there were many of them saying, I'm over this. I've done it once. I'm not doing it again.
Right.
I'm going to vote red. I didn't hear there that there was enough of them to switch.
Right. Not Illinois.
Right.
Yeah. No, that could be true. Yeah, what you're saying is, according to these ladies, you could have more black voters voting for Trump than you would Biden
in Illinois,
or Republican over Democrat than normal.
Compared to 2020, for example.
Because of reasons like the economy and the illegal. I tell you what, it would be interesting to see what will happen with these illegal immigrant cities where they're flooded, like Chicago, for example. We'll have to wait and see. I don't know. I think the more likely would be in a local race like Chicago, they would just vote for a less liberal Democrat.
Yes.
You know what I'm
saying?
Usually,
yeah.
But anyway, on a presidential election, this goes to show you, though, how weak Biden is.
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah.
He's really weak as a candidate.
Well,
and he's got people saying they're not going to vote for him who may vote for Robert F. Kennedy. They may not vote for Trump, but it'll hurt Biden. If he needs every vote he can get.
I want to make a little bit of a prediction
here. You make it.
And I want to be on the record at the same time.
Absolutely.
Okay. So
this can come back to haunt you.
I don't think this one will. But we'll
better
but
not
you're
go
right
on the record saying Chelsea was ever wrong about anything.
I will not do that.
Need to let bygones be bygones.
That's
Go ahead.
All right. So the beginning of 2024, YouTube lifted its ban on people on YouTube questioning the integrity of the election. Okay?
All right.
Going into 2024. Why would they do that? Why would they not just keep it the same as they did from 2020 when they started? They were demonetizing people, and they were going in there putting their own information in there behind people who were questioning the integrity of the election,
right,
that were pointing to the irregularities and all that.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, not to get too far into what you know, we've shared our position on that. So we think some was legitimately done wrong. Some were
questionable.
Mm-hmm. And then some of it was just a distraction from some of the bigger issues at hand. But why would we lift it at 2024?
Knowing you.
Who would lift it? You're talking about YouTube?
YouTube.
Yes. Removing the restriction on people complaining about an election being illegitimate.
Now you can do it.
So knowing you, Weston, knowing that you're a suspicious source.
Right.
You are suggesting that YouTube has lifted this ban because they expect Donald Trump to win, and they want people on YouTube saying election was stolen.
It was rigged, stolen, was rigged. All the words.
To Ed's point, 2016.
Well, to Wesley's point.
Well, yes. Yes. Well,
because I'm Ed's on the record.
And you're on the record.
Hillary Clinton was bitter, still is, about the 2016 election.
Scorned
and she
woman.
Said for a long time that Donald Trump was elected because of Russia, you know, hackers.
Illegitimate
and all that
president.
Stuff. Yes. Right. Even Letitia James, in a soundbite that Steve Jordahl put together, we've aired it a few times. I don't have it today. But Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, in a soundbite we've aired on the show, referred to Donald Trump as a illegitimate president. So Democrats can question an election, but not Republicans. If you do, you're a knuckle dragger. Caveman, homophobe, racist.
It was over 2.5 years okay then, Hillary Clinton still said that it was stolen, it was illegal.
And to the point that's been made here, now back to the blacks will vote en masse for Republicans. You remember there's been on several occasions here in the last couple of election cycles, not necessarily presidential, but remember Lori Lightfoot, how despised she was in Chicago. She was so unpopular. Former mayor of Chicago. And I was one of those. A lot of people thought, well, maybe they're going to turn to a Republican.
Sure.
You know, in Chicago, because they're tired of all the bad policies. Well, they elected Brandon Johnson, who in a lot of ways, as mayor of Chicago, is to the left of Lori Lightfoot. So to your point, Tim, I think you'd have to have several election cycles where black voters were turning away from the Democratic Party to convince me that there was some major shift underway for the black community away from the Democratic Party to the Republican.
Yeah.
Now, if you just single out the upcoming presidential election, Trump v. Biden, you know, I could see more African-American voters going for Trump, they would normally go for a Republican just because of how weak Biden is.
But I don't, to your point again, I don't think that's going to turn Illinois red.
No.
But it might in swing states.
Yeah.
It might
make a difference.
Might make a difference.
Yeah.
Black unemployment was much lower under Trump than it currently or has ever been under Joe Biden.
And not just unemployment, with inflation much, much lower under Trump.
Oh, yeah.
People just going to buy groceries in the inner city or putting gas in their cars, this makes a huge difference.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a short time out right here. We'll be back with more of today's issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. Dr. Alex McFarland will be with us coming up in just
a few minutes. Thor.
Huh? Is he Thor?
Thor.
Thor.
He's awkward.
Alex Thor McFarland will be on with us.
When Natalia found out she was pregnant, her initial reaction was fear and anger. She didn't think she could go through with her pregnancy and had decided on abortion. By the grace of God, her partner's family was praying, and she was led to a preborn network center. Once she saw her baby on ultrasound and heard the heartbeat, she knew that God wanted her to have her baby and he would carry her through. Natalia chose life and has received ongoing love and support from Preborn. Because of your generous support, Preborn writes 200 stories just like these every day. $28 can be the difference between the life and death of a child. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection and doubles a baby's chance at life. Let's join together and help mothers in crisis choose life. Just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com. All gifts are tax deductible and 100% of your donation goes towards saving babies.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Wes, do you want to tell people how they can... There are the various and sundry ways that you can engage with this show.
I don't mind, but then I'm also giving away how much Ed has influenced and rubbed off on me because I can't help but to say that their internet.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
That was Ed's expression. He coined that. Their internet.
That their internet.
Yeah.
Don't you? I mean, I appreciate you rubbing off on me.
Well, I think you. Basically,
it sticks.
He was mocking rednecks.
Yes.
Is what he was doing.
Because nobody's ever mocked me. Yeah.
The mortal words of Greta. How dare you?
That there.
That there internet.
I do like that a lot, though, and I really like it a lot. You can go to AFR.
Wesley, you don't have to fake Southern accent. You just go straight up with your own.
Right. You went on Forrest Gump.
People know where you're from, my
that's
friend.
That's right.
Forrest Gump.
Hey, and when your kids do it, it's even that much more obvious. And
when they fake?
When they just have a deep Southern. A couple words are real
like
deep.
Like Paula
Southern.
Dean, you can't pretend. Like that's
yes,
real.
Yes. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but Bennett has a hint. My oldest son, my only son who's 8, which is our oldest child, He's got his couple words that you just go, oh, my word. There's no doubt you're from Mississippi. All right, here, you can go to, for those who are listening, you can go to AFR.net or you can go to our YouTube channel called Today's Issues Live, or you can go download the app, AFR app, or you can go to our stream.afa.net. Those are the four primary locations where you can catch the audio here. Another reason we give you those locations is because you can go back and listen to any of the shows that you would like to archive live. Plus, there we have all the other podcasts throughout the day as well. So all our radio content is stored there. Plus, you can listen to those locations 24/7 anywhere you are. You don't have to be at a terrestrial radio station as well.
Okay, and then so I'll make fun of myself here, okay?
Go for it.
You can also go to X, formerly known as Twitter, okay? And then you just search for AFI. Search for AFI.
In the Boston area.
Somebody's going to type in AFAH.
Yes.
AFI.
Yeah. What is it? So you're going back to your Boston, your Boston days there, which the Bostonians definitely have their own.
Oh, they do.
Have their own way of communicating. I like the commercial.
It's wicked awesome.
Is it Heineken or what?
You mean Dunkin' Donuts?
Your cousin from Boston.
Oh,
what commercial is that?
That's some kind of beer commercial.
Your cousin from Boston.
Your cousin from Boston.
Say Harvard. Say Harvard.
Boston.
Say park your car in Harvard Yard.
Park your car at Harvard Yard.
There you go. What are you talking about?
Why is that? Is it the Irish population and it's like influence on
how do we get here?
Language?
We don't have time for that.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Really?
All I know is that in New England, you get rid right. of R's, I's. Where you typically find them, and you add them to words where you don't. So you pack Ka, so? But you have a good idea.
We just draw it out and add a few syllables.
Yeah. It's. Hey, I know a guy who's traveled the country and can probably tell you a lot of different accents, and that's our own Alex McFarland. Good morning, brother Alex.
Good morning, everybody. This is really great radio. Yeah.
Well, you've traveled the country. You've been up in New England. Where? How far out does that Boston, Ed, just said, how far out does that go? New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine?
Well, the upper Northeast, they've got that northern brogue, you know. But you know what people say to me? All over the country, and I was just in Wisconsin, so just in Indiana. But people say, we listen to AFR, all of you all sound so friendly, you know. And I guess that's kind of a nice way of saying that we have a southern accent.
Well, we're in Mississippi, and we're the hospitality state.
There
so
you
why
go.
Wouldn't we
Indeed.
Be why wouldn't right. we why wouldn't we be friendly?
That may have been her way of saying bless your heart.
You're in
exactly.
Right. You're in North Carolina there. So I've known friends I've had from that lived in Maine. And they talk a lot like
they do, but there are distinctions
even from Maine
New
to
England,
Boston.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway,
the Boston accent, which I can't do, that it is rather unique, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. All right. So much to talk about, Alex. You've got your summer youth camps coming up. That tell us about them and who's eligible, how people can what's going to be going on, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, praise God. Thanks very much. And, let me mention the camps. But first, there is something that everybody might want to know about. We are going to be June 7 through 9 in Texas. We're doing one of our Truth for a New Generation conferences. And it's at my website, which is alexmcfarland.com under events. There's a church called Rose Heights Church in Tyler, Texas that we'll be at. And, you know, guys, I give God the glory. I just was in Florida, and a group of AFR listeners from Idaho came all the way to Florida. I was just recently in the Plainview, Lubbock, Texas area, and a group drove 9 hours. And so, wow, you know, people are willing to travel many miles to come to these events. But we're going to be doing a conference in Tyler, Texas, June 7 through 9, just biblical worldview and how we can help, you know, contribute to the restoration of our country. May 17th,
so that's for adults and kids?
That's for all ages. And we've got, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for all ages.
In Tyler,
Texas. Okay. But even this month, May 17 through 19, I'll be doing a Truth for a New Generation Apologetics Biblical Worldview in Bentonville, Arkansas. We'll be at Boundless Grace Church, Pastor Josh Ramsey, wonderful, great people, lots of AFR people in Arkansas. But that's it at my website, which is alexmcfarland.com as well. And guys, you know, the summer camps that we do, which we partner with a ministry called Reasons for Hope. We've worked with them for off and on for 20 years. Great people. And in fact, I just yesterday was working on the workbook for the camps that is full of apologetics. And basically, we're trying to help kids not only know what they believe, but why they believe it. Now, here are the camps we'll be doing this summer. Montana, Temple, Georgia, Marietta, South Carolina, Elgin, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Colorado. And
list those again now. These are all this summer?
Yeah, all summer long. And, you know, we work on this for about a year. All right, June 2 through 7, Montana. June 23 through 28, Temple, Georgia, which is not that far from AFR. But then July 1 through 5 will be in Colorado. July 21 through 26, Marietta, South Carolina. June 2 through 7 will also be in Elgin, Illinois. We'll be in West Harrison, Indiana. And we'll also, August 19 through 23, be in Hewitt, New Jersey. And guys, let me just say this. Out of 1,200 middle school and high schoolers that will attend these, about 25% will make a salvation decision and accept Christ as their Savior. you know, the other three quarters are, they have a relationship with Christ. We try to help them grow and get strong. But here's what's unique. We talk about not only the gospel, obviously, but we talk about America. And guys, let me just say this. I know that our home is in heaven, and we are living for Christ and the day we get to heaven. But we got to restore America, and we're trying to impart to these youth patriotism, you know? Mm-hmm. And every now and then I'll have pastors, and look, I've pastored two churches, spoken in 2000, literally, and I know the dynamics of the pastorate, but pastors will piously say, "Oh, Brother Alex, our home is in heaven. God did not call me to save America. Mm-hmm. God called me to save souls." Well, of course, I understand that. But look, until we get to heaven, where are we going to live? And we got to get some patriotism, and let's try to instill within these young people a love, yes, of the Lord Jesus, but a love for America and the belief that God can use our lives to restore this nation. That's part of our message.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Alex, when I'm told something like that about our home is in heaven, we don't need to waste our time down here, you know, working on anything temporal, I always want to, and I do on occasion if I get the chance, I'll say, well, if you're a pastor, if your roof leaks, do you fix it? If your car engine light comes on, do you take it to a mechanic? Well, why? I mean, our home is in heaven. Why waste your time with something temporal?
Fixing
like
the car.
Yeah, fixing the car. Well, you fix things that are important to you down here on earth because they're a gift from God. Yes. And I don't know why you don't try to fix the republic.
Right.
Or fix
that's
your communities.
That's called dunking on someone.
Yes. Our
just dunk on that person.
Our
that's
mic
awesome.
Yep. All right. So the how to find out these camps you listed?
Yeah, just go to my website, alexmcfarland.com.
Those are for teenagers.
That they are for teens. But, you know, when church groups come, obviously adult chaperones are welcome. And last year, you know, this was so special. In Mississippi, there was a church, and to make the budget, this pastor, they canceled the lawn care service to save enough money, and the pastor was cutting the grass and doing the landscaping himself. I called him up, and I'm trying to remember. It'll come to me.
Saving money for what? To send their kids to your camp?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
And so I called the pastor, and I said, "Hey, this is Alex." And he shouted to his wife. He said, "Honey, get on the phone. You'll never guess who it is." And I said, "Listen, I want to come to your church and just in person say thank you that they did their utmost and brought like 30 kids and half a dozen adults." And guys, I'm telling you, the Lord is moving in America's young people. I know we hear a lot of bad news, but I'm telling you, these kids, we teach the gospel, we teach biblical worldview, we teach about America. And these kids, they embrace it eagerly like cool water on a hot day. And I want to challenge everybody listening. Look, in your Sunday school, in your youth group, maybe you have three teenagers, maybe you have 50, it doesn't matter. But teach them God's word. They are hungry for truth. I really believe that.
Hey, Alex, this is Wesley here. I want to get your quick comments on what's happening on college campuses. Not all, but some, where, or most, where the students are respectfully but firmly in opposition to the support that Hamas is getting on these college campuses.
Wow. Well, you know, there's a struggle over our campuses, obviously. And Wesley, I appreciate you so much. Hey, I want to speak to this, but I got to tell you, Wesley and I have spent a lot of time together fellowshipping around the Word of God, and brother, I'm so impressed with you. And
well, I appreciate that.
Amen.
You are such a man of God.
Well, where do you get that from?
Well, he had good parents.
Oh, what? No, I wasn't looking for that. But,
Alex, way to go, Allison.
I didn't even know my mic was on. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was just a thought out loud.
Yeah, thinking out loud there.
Yeah, well, sorry.
You know, I think about Chapel Hill, where my sister went to UNC Chapel Hill, And I've spoken there before, but, you know, there were students that, you know, protected the American flag after the pro-Palestinian protesters, you know, ripped it down. Interestingly, they say that one of the very first, maybe the first student who protected the flag at UNC Chapel Hill was a student that originally grew up in Russia. So it's interesting how sometimes those that are not native-born Americans sometimes have a bit more patriotism than... Mm-hmm. But
let me just say this too, Alex, talking about these student protests that have been on campus the last 3 or 4 weeks that we've seen in support of Hamas and against Israel. Let me just say this. They've gotten a lot of attention, and it's been, I'm guessing, 40 or 50 campuses maybe had something going on, but it's been a tiny percentage of the students, okay? This is good news. This is good for a tiny percentage of the students. And with that, we've found that half of them are professional agitators.
Exactly.
You know, that are paid for by George Soros. So while, yes, the professors on college campuses, that's who you should be probably more concerned about than the students, because they're the ones who have influence on the students, and they're there year after year after year. And many of them are far lefties. And it doesn't mean they necessarily adopted a pro-Hamas position, but we're finding out now that, you know, some of them have.
Do you remember during the BLM riots, and they found, like, you know, a skid of bricks was conveniently shipped into street corners?
Yes.
And the agitators were smuggled in. That's how it is on these campus protests, that many of the rioters and protesters are ringers paid. I read a story just a few days ago about people that were given $50 a piece to show up at a rally for 2 or 3 hours. But in Chapel Hill, some of the faculty, and look, I've been around the block in terms of American secular higher education. So many of these faculty, and look, folks, I have a degree of respect for education. But I want to tell you, so many of these faculty, and I know I've interacted with hundreds of college professors, interviewing them for books, speaking, debating. Many of these faculty that are so liberal, I mean, they're like to the left of Hillary Clinton, and they're teaching our kids. Well, at Chapel Hill, some of the faculty are saying that they're going to withhold grades, end-of-term grades, unless these students are given amnesty. Well, this is the time that we thin out the herd and do some firing. Mm-hmm. But see, so many colleges can't because there's tenure. There's this terrible thing called tenure. Just like there should be term limits for congressmen, there ought to be. I would encourage colleges to not give tenure to these liberals that get ensconced. They teach lunacy, and they can't get fired, and they know it. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what's wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got to say, we have to have an ethic of truth, an ethic of courage, but an ethic of standing with Israel.
Hey, Alex, let me ask you this. Are there still some very strong college campus ministries out there that you're aware of?
You know, there's Ratio Christi. A lot of people don't know this. My wife and I, with one other person, started Ratio Christi.
Is that like Harry Christian? What is that?
Now, Ratio Christi is Latin for the reason of Christ.
Oh.
And we started this about 16 years ago. The first 2 years, my wife and I, to God be the glory, funded it out of our own pocket. And it is really an apologetics ministry. And in terms of biblical worldview, it's really good. I've not really been involved with Ratio Christi for about 10 or 12 years, and so the degree to which they would include, like, a David Barton, Bill Federer, pro-America quotient, I really don't know.
Well, when I was in college, you had Campus Crusade for Christ. You had the Baptists had their own, and it was big, the Baptist Student Union. You had, at that time, the Wesley Foundation, which was... you know, that's before the Methodists really started going wackadoodle liberal. Mm-hmm. And then you had the...
I like that word.
Yeah, wackadoodle liberal. Not just liberal, but wackadoodle liberal.
Hey, really?
And then I've forgotten some others. You had some others maybe that were out there. But I remember Campus Crusade for Christ was pretty big. Of course, they changed their name to Crew. I don't know why they did that. But anyway, so I just wondered if there's anyone, do you have any interaction with any of the campus ministries anymore?
I used to speak very regularly for Campus Crusade for Christ, InterVarsity, Navigators.
InterVarsity, was another one. Yeah, Navigators, yes. Okay, now they're coming back to me. You're mentioning
that. Yeah. And let me just say, I honestly think that you have to take it on a like chapter-by-chapter basis. BSU, Baptist Union, mm-hmm. I mean, there are good ones, there are not so good ones.
Gotcha.
But folks, you have to understand, even among down in Bible Belt America, wokeness and critical theory, and this is another conversation for another day, but I cannot overstate how the presuppositions of critical theory.
Critical race theory.
Yeah. CRT. Yeah. There are the oppressed and the oppressors.
Yep.
And basically, if you've got a shirt on your back and food on the table, you're an oppressor. You know?
Yeah, that's what you're saying is that kind of stuff is infiltrated even conservative campus ministries.
Exactly.
The woke stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. I've heard about it. Yeah.
Let me encourage churches, pray about it and try to do some outreach to college kids, especially, you know, internationals, just offer a meal. Here's one good thing about the church. I mean, when you have food, college kids will come, and then you can teach them the Bible.
Yeah, especially if you're in a campus town. I mean, you're in a college town. Alex, thank you, my friend. I appreciate you being on with us this morning. And so, Alex, can you name what do you call those things?
Superheroes.
Marvel superheroes? The Avengers, you mean?
The Avengers. Alex, go. Avengers are who?
The Avengers would be like, I can see their pictures. I can't even call their names. Captain Marvel, Captain America. Who's the guy made out of rocks?
The Thing.
Yes, right.
Oh, Alex.
I failed.
I know. I would stop right there because Ed, he rolls his eyes.
Yeah. That's the Fantastic Four you're talking about thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even though they're Marvel characters, Alex, they were not a part of the Marvel cinematic.
Yeah. And Alex, you're going to be teaching our teenagers this summer?
I don't know.
Is this like Spider-Man or something like that?
Is this like Spider-Man? See, I told you, just stop.
Just stop right there where you are.
Hey, forgive me for not knowing what's in the comic books. I was reading the Bible.
That was a shot back at us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's
all right, Alex, take care. Thank you.
All right, God bless you guys.
Okay, that's Dr. Alex McFarland. You can hear him this afternoon.
As he's exploring the Word.
He's exploring the Word.
Instead of the comic book world.
Right. Dr. Alex McFarland, that's all you say if somebody, if you don't know what you don't have a good comeback, just say, well, I don't know because I was reading the Bible.
I was reading the Bible.
That shuts up the conversation.
Sure does.
There, so. What's funny is there are now, like, translations of the Bible which are done as comic books to reach people that don't like to read a book. So they try to use comic books to teach. Yes, you can get, like a graphic novel Bible. Basically.
Well,
you can get a what?
Like a graphic novel is like a fancy pants word for comic book.
I'm laughing at everyone's.
The whole Bible?
Laughing at everyone's expression.
Yeah, there's like
room.
At the Bible. a picture Bible. Beyond a pictures. It's
animated.
It's like a comic book, but it's the Bible.
The whole Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
I have a hard time with that one, Chris.
You got to bring
that in to show me, too. I'm not calling you a liar.
Yeah, I got you. I'm going to try to find the name of it.
Yeah, you find it.
There was a pictorial version. It's not the whole Bible, obviously, because you can't.
Yeah, it's called a children's Bible.
The Action Bible.
Yeah, the Action Bible.
Bible.
Mm-hmm. Because you can't draw Isaiah, you know, but like all the parts, like the history part even of the Old Testament, Exodus, you know, or some of those. There were versions that were pretty artistically rendered with quotes from the
okay. What
chapters.
I'm thinking about
Joshua, you know,
is some kind of a chapter by chapter illustration.
Yeah,
yeah. You couldn't have that.
Okay. Yeah. Wesley's showing us what Chris is talking about, and that's pretty. Yeah, I see. What's that called?
That's the Action Bible. What I'm talking about is not this. The Action Bible.
Is that a computer?
Probably updated. Yeah, he's holding a computer.
Okay, the Action Bible. No, I mean.
No, I know.
Yeah. You're talking about Wesley holding the computer up to show us here, but I'm talking about. Is this this isn't a physical book that you turn the pages?
Yeah, it's both.
Oh, it is? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because we live in 2024,
okay.
So you can do digital.
Well, and or, you know, I grew up with the illustrated. My dad had a whole collection that he used for
children's
us.
Bible.
Yeah, they're stories. They're biblical stories with pictures drawn that are character.
That may be what I'm talking about. The illustrated Bible. That illustrated. Sounds like the name of it.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, we're going to take a short time out right here, Chris. What you added to this hour cannot be overstated.
Thank you.
No, really. You deserve free popcorn.
Okay.
So go out there and get you some.
I will be walking
it's right
past
out
it.
There. It's right out down the hall. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.